But of course, let's go to the Word of God first. And the title of tonight's message, Saved by Hope. Amen. Saved by Hope. Of course, that's from Romans chapter 8. We'll turn to that. Romans chapter 8, and let's go to verse 24. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. And I hope tonight would really encourage your hearts, my friends, and strengthen us in the inner man. And perhaps there's some different struggles that we're going through, but God is faithful. And I praise God for His mercy. I praise God for His grace, His long-suffering. And I praise God that we have hope. Hope is a wonderful thing. And so let's go to Romans chapter 8. We'll start there. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to verse 24. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. And the scripture tells us here, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in thy house tonight. And Father, what an awesome thought that we can come even to your throne room even now, into the presence of God Almighty, Lord. And who are we, Lord? We're nothing. We're less than nothing, Lord. We're just but a worm. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace, for your mercy, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that you made us your own, Lord, that you redeemed us, not by anything we do, but by the free gift of salvation, Lord. We just are so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, will be honored tonight, Lord, that you'll be well pleased with this gathering of saints. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God will have free reign, that you bind Satan, Lord, and may Christ be glorified. And Father, I ask that you give me the words to speak even now, Lord. I'm just a sinner, but saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is just, wow. Lord, I'm so thankful that you saved me. What a joy to be saved, to have your word, and to have hope. And so, Father, help us, Lord, to be encouraged tonight. Stir our hearts, Lord, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, saved here in this context is not so much talking about the soul's salvation, okay? That is, we're only saved. Our salvation is only in believing in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on Calvary, and of course, his resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel. That's how we get saved. Saved here is talking more of a deliverance from physical suffering, because life as a Christian is hard, okay? Life as a Christian is tough, okay? And we, yes, we endure, hardships, left and right, inside out, whatever, while serving God in this present evil world. So that's kind of the context. If you go back to verse 18, that kind of, not to say sets the stage, but that kind of gives us a glimpse of where Paul is coming from here. Verse 18 says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time, are you suffering? We all suffer, right? Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, which is one of the hope that he's talking about. And so that's where we're saved, where we're delivered from the suffering through the promises of God. And so that's wonderful. And so God promises to deliver us from the suffering we have now to eternal glory with him. This is our hope, the hope that Paul's talking about. And so now what, it kind of got me thinking, what specifically is hope? What does hope mean? How is it different from faith? Is there a difference? And spoiler, yes, there is a difference. But I at the same time, I don't want to get overly academic, hope is defined this way, faith is defined this way. And well, maybe we can kind of relate to some examples. I kind of toss it out first, but let's kind of go to 1 Corinthians. We'll start there. 1 Corinthians 13, understand that hope is indeed related to faith, but it is not faith. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, just kind of get our minds thinking about what hope is, what faith is, how are they related, how are they different. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And of course, this is not just so that we can academically answer and write an essay on what hope is. I hope that tonight's message would stir up that hope in us. that's the hope. That when we walk out of here, we're like, praise God that I have hope. It's Case in point, you can think of the Philippian jailer when he wanted to commit suicide. It's because he thought he had no hope, right? And of course, hope is only in Jesus Christ, is in the Lord. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, the charity chapter. And then you notice how God concludes that chapter, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These, how many? Three. And so they're different, they're related, but they're distinct, they're separate. Faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. All distinct qualities, if you will. Hope and faith are related, but they are different. You know, perhaps sometimes you can kind of use them in, you know, just in conversations interchangeably. Okay, but just so that we can truly understand both faith and hope, I believe gives us the full scope and appreciation of God's charity to us. Because it all starts with his charity. That's why it's the greatest. Okay, if it weren't for God's charity, there'd be no John 3:16. There'd be no nothing for us to put our faith in because God didn't promise anything. And, you know, so it starts with charity. That's the greatest. Of course, we understand that. But to appreciate and understand the difference between faith and hope gives us a full appreciation of what God has given us. Now, faith and hope in real life, I kind of had some fun with this, so kind of play along with me. And so I kind of thought of a child or a son-dad example, okay? And so a child may have faith in his dad. That's good, right? Believes his dad will always be there for him. Believes his dad will always love him. Believes the dad would always want the best for him. Okay, so the son can have faith in his dad. Now let's give this son a name. What name should we give this son? Any suggestions? Annalise? Michael. Okay. So yeah, Michael, he is the boy. And so he's young kid. Okay. Say, I don't know how old, maybe he's eight years old. 8 year old Michael. Okay. And so then one day, this is the day before his birthday. So his birthday is going to be the next day. He's going to turn 9. So that night before his birthday, Michael is told by his dad that for his birthday, okay, Michael, tomorrow's your birthday. Yeah, Dad, yeah, I know. Well, son, for your birthday, why don't we start the day? I'll take you out for breakfast, hot breakfast at, Blue Willow. We're going to Blue Willow, get your favorite breakfast. And then after that, we're going to go to Bay Beach in Green Bay, the theme park. We'll have a fun day there. And then get you a big ice cream, I don't know, some of these carnival, fair foods. And then maybe go go-kart racing. And then we'll go to Pizza Ranch for lunch. Now, as I'm sharing this, perhaps this is, I'm kind of disclosing what would be my ideal birthday. I don't know, okay, but perhaps go to Pizza Ranch for lunch. And then we'll come back. And then I'll take you shopping in a favorite store and get a good present for you. And then for dinner time, we have your friends over, a birthday party, and then we have an ice cream cake. And then that will be your day. What do you think? And then Michael's going, yeah, sounds good, Dad. And then Dad says, well, have a good night. I'll see you tomorrow. Birthday tomorrow, champ. Okay, and then, of course, the dad goes, leaves him in his room. And then Michael, all night, he can't go to sleep because he's all wound up now. And he's all like, wow. He's all uber excited because tomorrow's going to be their best day ever. Okay, so here's notice how it breaks down. He's full of hope for tomorrow, right? Because he can't wait for tomorrow to happen. He has faith in Dad. But the dad didn't have to promise him he'll take him out and do all that fun. Dad didn't have to do that. He wanted to do that to be a blessing to his son. But because Michael has faith in Dad, he's always had faith in his dad. My dad loves me, wants the best for me. He's always there for me, on and on and on. Because he has faith in Dad, when Dad made this promise, Michael now has hope. And so, in fact, he's so full of hope, he can't even sleep. Okay, so it's pretty cool. It starts with charity. That's Dad's love to Michael. The greatest of these is charity. So Dad loves Michael unconditionally. That's a good father figure. Loves Michael. Michael knows that. He's blessed. And then the child has faith in Dad. And if it wasn't for faith, it didn't matter what promise Dad would make to Michael. If Dad had maybe broken promises in the past, or maybe Dad has, not been there, whatever the case, Michael can be heartbroken. And then when Dad says, well, we'll take you out, Michael's going, yeah, right. Or, I believe it when I see it. But if there was no faith, then Michael wouldn't have that hope. Make sense? And so that's why the Bible tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? We know that verse. Let's turn there. Let's go to Hebrews 11 just to see it firsthand. Again, Michael has faith in Dad, but Dad truly did not have to make that promise to Michael. Michael still would have faith. He wouldn't have been none the wiser. But because Dad shared with him, hey, tell you what, bud, tomorrow your birthday, we're going to have a best birthday ever. Now Michael is so full of hope. He's like, wow. And so that's because of the promise of God or the promise of his dad to him. But it was only effectual to Michael because of faith. So let's go to the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and then, well, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the foundation. It is the building blocks of hope. And if you want to think of hope as the tower of God's promise, hasn't happened yet. So we haven't seen it yet. Or Michael hasn't seen, he's still waiting for the birthday to come the next day. But he knows it's going to happen because he has faith in Dad. And so it's real, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so even though it hasn't happened yet, he is so full of hope because he can literally feel the rush as he goes down the theme park roller coaster. I mean, now that won't be me, okay? But in this story, okay, he's just so giddy with hope. He's so full of hope. He's bursting with hope. He can't wait for that day to come, right? Now, God, just like Dad didn't have to promise Michael all that extravagance for his birthday, God didn't have to promise us a perfect resurrected body. He didn't have to. But he did. God didn't have to promise us that we would reign with him and be joint heirs with Christ. But he did. God didn't have to promise us eternal glory with him, but he does. Even though times are tough now, if we have faith in God, we have hope in God's promises. If we don't have faith, we don't have hope, even though God made those promises. But if we have faith, then we get hope because God made those promises when he didn't have to. Make sense? Faith is what makes the hope real. Hope is what we have when we do have faith in God's promise. If you go to verse 6 with me, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. All right, we know this verse. We've got to please God. It has to be by faith. Otherwise, it's of sin. We know that. For he that cometh to God... Now, this is an awesome verse. Must believe that he is. This is the faith that God is. This is, he loves me unconditionally. He wants the best for me. He knows best. He's always there. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. This is what I believe God is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is a promise from God. That if I diligently seek him, he will reward me. This is my hope. Hope is tied to God's promise. Faith, if you want to think of faith, tied to God's character, God's person. That's another way to kind of think of that. Here's another example of hope. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, this is using Abraham as the example. Romans chapter 4. God's promise to Abraham. Let's go to verse 16. Romans chapter 4. Let's go to verse 16. And so the Word of God says... Therefore, it is of faith, starts with faith, of course, that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, all of Abraham's descendants. Not to that only which is of the law, and not just the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And what scripture here is saying is anyone who has the faith in the Lord, just like Abraham believed God, are spiritual descendants of Abraham and then partakers of God's promise, i.e. through Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God, whether Jews, those who are of the law, or Gentiles. In fact, it doesn't matter what nation you're from, because why? Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father... of many nations. It doesn't matter which, you can be from Malaysia, like I grew up there. I can still be an heir to the promise of Abraham, even though I am literally, physically not descended from, now we're all related to Adam, we're all related to Noah, but we're not all related to Abraham, right? Because after you have Noah, he had his three boys, and then, you know, they each branched out. And so we're not all related to Abraham as far as a Jewish ancestry. But even then, doesn't matter what nation we are, if we have that faith, like Abraham, in the Lord, and when we are saved, we are partakers of this promise. Amen. That's fantastic. And speaking about God, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. I mean, God can do the impossible, even bring to life those who are dead, and calleth, this is awesome. God's promise is so guaranteed. I mean, it's even beyond guaranteed. It's double guaranteed. He calls those things which be not as though they were. And so even though it hasn't happened yet, in fact, perfect example, how does God address Abraham in verse 17? As it is written, and this is quoting Genesis, I have, present tense, made thee a father of many nations. Even though Abraham wasn't yet a father of many nations, in God's mind, it's a done deal. Because God is sovereign, the promises of God will stand sure. And so God is saying, I'm calling it, you're the father of many nations. I'm not a father of anything. Yes, you will be. I mean, and so even though he will be and isn't yet, from God's standpoint, it's really a done deal. So that's why God called him presently. He says, I have made thee a father of many nations. That is so awesome. That is how awesome God's promise is. So look at verse 18. Speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Now this is a wonderful, although it can be an odd word, the word against. And so the way that we would typically use the word against usually means contrary, right? Bob is against John in this boxing match. So against normally means contrary. But another way that we can also use against is to lean on, right? This ladder is leaning against what? The wall, okay? And so when the ladder is leaning against the wall, it is completely dependent on the wall. There's no wall, ladder's going down. Okay, but so that's the second definition here. Okay, so it's leaning on, okay? So it's not contrary. Okay, Abraham is not contrary to God. Okay, he's leaning on God. And so it says, who against hope? He's all in. He's leaning into hope. God, you said it. I believe you. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Is exactly what God promised. According to that which was spoken, verse 17, so shall thy seed be. Now it starts by faith, verse 16. God didn't have to promise Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. He didn't have to, but God chose to. Dad didn't have to promise Michael his birthday for the best birthday ever, but he did, because he loves him, to be a blessing. And because of that promise, because Michael had faith, when you have these two ingredients, faith, promise, we get hope, right? Okay, so this is awesome. Because you can believe in someone all day long, but if they don't promise you anything, there's nothing to hope in, okay? And so this is so phenomenal. Okay, so look at this, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. Clinically alive, okay, but dead meaning he was way past the age of, you know, childbearing, especially his wife, when he was about 100 years old. No one in their mind, even in your wrong mind, you won't think this. Okay, I mean, this is just 100, she's 90. I mean, what's going on? Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But that didn't bother him. That didn't trip him up because he believed God. He had faith in God. God made a promise. And he had hope because of the promise, because he had faith in God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Remember, it's a substance of things hoped for, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. I mean, he was completely convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That is awesome. It's not that Abraham was, I mean, praise God for his faithfulness, but it's not in him. I mean, it cannot be any more obvious. This is not in him. He's an old guy. How is he going to be the father of many? It's by God. It's completely God. But God said it, so it's going to happen. And think of all the promises when we are slugging it out in this. My pastor would always say, yes, the sweet by and by, but right now we have the tough now and now, right? And so when we're kind of crawling through the tough now and now, it's God's promises that gives us hope. But we've got to have faith in God, because then the promises become real. It becomes hope to us. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's awesome. In fact, we'll kind of keep going. Let's go to Hebrews, the same thought. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. God wants us to live by hope. Hebrews chapter 6. Now, it starts with faith. And then when you add God's promises to our faith in him, we have hope. And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. And then let's go to verse 17. We'll pick it up here. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's go to verse 17. Says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs, now it's plural, because if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're an heir to the promise that God made to Abraham, okay, that not the national promise of his descendants, that's bonus, okay, but that the Savior of the world for all nations, okay, and so if you're saved, this is us, to show us the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. I mean, this is, God really wants us to live by hope. And so to prove beyond any shadow or mote of doubt that this is going to happen, God who cannot lie to begin with, but now God confirms it with an oath. So it's doubly sure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God could have just said it's going to happen, verily, verily. But God said it and doubled down by an oath. I mean, it's really going to happen. I don't know how you can make it even more happen, but it is. Okay, so it's doubly secure that it's going to happen. Verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, yet he swore an oath. I mean, that is going above and beyond. I mean, how much more convincing do I need? We might have a strong consolation. Yeah, comfort. Okay, amen. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the what? Hope set before us. And so going back to our first example, you think of dad, and Michael goes, really, dad? We're going to do all that tomorrow? And then dad says, yes, Michael, this is the hope I want you to have. You believe me? Now, again, this is just a fallible dad, okay? But when you think of God saying it to you and I, put ourselves in Michael's shoes talking to our Heavenly Father, and God is telling me, Wing, this is the hope that I've set before you. Your glorified body. Your reign with me. Eternally joint heirs with Christ. To an inheritance undefiled. It fadeth not away. And I go, wow, that's amazing. Are you glad you're saved? Friends, are you glad you're saved? That is phenomenal. The hope that is set before us. Take it. But we've got to have faith. I mean, we take it by believing, okay? We've got to have faith in God, which hope, verse 19, we have as an anchor of the soul. God doesn't want us to live with, I don't know what's going to happen. He wants us to live with hope. It anchors our soul so that we don't be just floating around in the storm, in the high tide. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's the presence of God. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord, our Lord and Savior. He's our high priest. Praise God. That is amazing. God wants to live by hope. Hope is that anchor to our soul. Hope is for our effective witness, right? Peter writes this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the what? Hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so when we live by hope, we're anchored, we are effective witness. When we labor for the Lord, Paul says in Corinthians, he that ploweth should plow in what? Hope. That means you know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that is a wonderful thing. That's awesome. I mean, I would dread to do any job where I'm not sure if you get the paycheck. That's the first thing usually you want to confirm, like, hey, I'm going to I'm getting paid, right? I'm going to work for 2 weeks or 1 month, and then you realize, oh, we didn't hire you. Like, oh, thanks. No, you don't want to work when it's uncertain. I mean, that's horrible. That's horrible. God says when we plow in hope. We know it. We know he will reward. We know that he's there. The promises of God. I mean, that is so awesome. As much as we can suffer now, we are saved, meaning we are delivered from our present state by hope. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord. I thank you, Father, for this hope that you've given us. Not just the forgiveness of sins. That in itself is, we praise you. We can't cease to praise you for that. But then, Father, you add on beyond that all spiritual blessings. I mean, we can't even contain it, Lord. It's just, wow. That's so awesome to be saved, Lord. And I know forever is forever, but I know in my mind, my finite mind, I can't even comprehend it, Lord, to reign with you. Lord, that is, oh, Lord, you know our frame, that we are but dust. How can this be? It's just by your grace. It's by your charity, Lord. I praise you for your sovereignty. I praise you for your goodness to us, Lord. All through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be strong in faith so that we have lively hope. We have this hope in your promises. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise.